such an honour to be hosting the Christmas Live at the Apollo, and you sort of think, well, how have I got to this point? I just want to give thanks to diversity quotas. You know, it's really helped me out. You're getting 2-for-1 with me because I'm Asian and I've got a lazy eye. So what you get is you get ethnicity and you get disability. I do like Christmas. I like to play the race card at Christmas. What's good about it is that you can make anyone feel racist at Christmas. It's a really nice little tradition I like to do. If somebody comes up to you and says, Merry Christmas, you go, why would you assume that I celebrate Christmas? And if they come up to you and go, Merry Christmas, oh no, do you celebrate? You go, why would you assume that I don't celebrate Christmas? It's wicked, man. I love it. Or sometimes I like to knock on a neighbour's door and go, here's your Christmas card. Notice you didn't get me one for Diwali. See you later. Nice. Obviously, it's difficult for us at our house with Christmas and that because, well, I can't pretend to be Santa. It's because of the lazy eye. It just makes it such a nightmare. The kids don't know which one I'm giving the present to. It's just... My wife always wants to go away for Christmas, right? Last Christmas, she wanted to do Disneyland Paris. Has anyone been there? Yeah. I liked it. I found it difficult to engage with it fully because it was so expensive. It's very difficult to fully enjoy it when you know how much you've paid to get your family in there. Like, my kids were walking around just like all the visions of Christmassy Disney, and I just had, in my eyes, the invoice. Do you know what I mean? I was just... For me, Disneyland Paris is basically like a 3-day angry walk. Do you know what I mean? Just wandering around, going, fuck off, Donald. Do you know what I mean? Just furious, so angry. It's the first time I really thought about learning another language, right? Because they all speak French, obviously. We're in France. I'm not so post-Brexit that they can't speak their own language in their own country. But I'm a very paranoid dude. We're queuing up for the Tower of Terror with my eldest son. Just about to get on the ride, the guy behind the counter turns to his mate and goes, Zabagadada, Zabagadada. I was thinking, what the shit did that dude just say, man? And in my head, I'm thinking he must have gone, I think the roller coaster is broken. Let's just try that one more time on this prick and his son. He probably just said, I fancy a sandwich. I don't know, but I'm very The kids were very excited, right? They're excited, because how it works is you pay a lot of money to get in so that you can access some shops where you spend some more money, right? That's how it works. The kids are like, we're going to buy loads of stuff. I said, no, no, you're not, mate. You're allowed one present each, yeah? Because Daddy has been fisted by Mickey here, right? So you get one present each, all right? No messing about. The little one, well, the thing is, I actually made an extra saving because I've got a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. The 2-year-old doesn't know what's going on, so sack him off. Jimmy, I just gave him, I just gave him a croissant we got free at the hotel. There you go, mate.
Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, enjoy, dickhead.
London, just a city dragging itself up by its cranes to ever new heights of unaffordability. It's been that way for years now, right? It's just a playground for the super wealthy and their offspring. And I'm not from that sort of background myself, regardless of what you may think from the way that I just pronounced the word years. I'm not, it's just a voice. This is genuinely true. During the last year for which I have available data, the high school I went to sent more people to ISIS than Oxbridge. Let you guess which way I went? Pleasure to be here. Allahu Akbar. Lock the doors. You might think the last line's obviously a joke. I'll get letters. Genuinely, I get strangers anonymously contacting me online insisting that I want to impose Sharia law on the West, which, as the atheist son of Hindu parents, makes me feel ever so naughty. Sharia, moi. And now, look at me, regular guy on the BBC at Christmas time. Yeah. Although, admittedly, owing to the BBC's diversity regulations, because I'm on the bill, you now have to refer to it as Krishna time. I know, right? O.M. Ganesh. Lots of differences between the generations. My favourite Christmas film is Die Hard. My dad's still waiting for the Hindu remake. Die Hard, get reincarnated, die even harder. It's been an interesting time this year. Lots of changes in my area at the moment, right? My part of London is undergoing a lot of rapid gentrification, they call it, right? I don't know if I can be a gentrifier because... I've gentrified places in the past. I work in the arts, don't get me wrong, right? I remember a while ago I lived in a place called Streatham in South London, and when I came towards the end of my tenancy, I remember walking to the station and realising that overnight a minicab office had been replaced by a vegan bakery, and I was like, my work here is done. It's different from the way that it used to be, you know? When my grandparents came to this country, with nothing, and yet they were able to start a family here, they were able to build a life for them, they were able to own property, largely because they drove down house prices in every neighborhood they went to, but they were able... property. It's not like that anymore for the different generations, right? So what do the young people do? You wait, you're probably watching this at home, all the generations together at last at Krishna time. All of the young people waiting for a grandparent to cough and hoping that that's what's finally going to get them on the property ladder. The problem is, as with any kind of inequality, with intergenerational inequality, the deck is stacked and we pretend it's a question of priorities that's made outcomes not identical, right? The number of times that I've heard, oh, you're worried you'll never get on the housing ladder, but you'll spend £3 on one of your fancy coffees, yeah? Yeah. Oh, you'll never get a little flat, but you'll spend £3 on one of your fancy coffees. Bruv, that's because you bought all the £3 houses. Few of those left, I'd prioritise that over a gingerbread latte. That is not the world that we currently live in, right? Guys, I currently, as an individual, earn more than both of my parents did put together, adjusted in real terms, when 23 years ago they bought a four-bedroom detached house in North London. The problem is my fondness for brunch.
Sure.
My daughter and I were really close. I took her out for some festive cocktails last week, and we went to one of those lovely fancy sky bars down on the south bank of the Thames. And as we were queuing to get in, they were doing very, very thorough bag checks on the door. My daughter's face just fell, and she said, Mum, they won't suspect you. Can you put my weed in your pocket? Oh, something's gone wrong here, hasn't it? Can you put my weed in your pocket, please? Was I going to put my cocaine? But we got in, we had the most wonderful night, and we kept getting free cocktails. There was a very, very good-looking young waiter, wouldn't let us pay for a single thing. At the end of the night, that waiter came over. He bent down, he said to my daughter, he said, if you weren't here, I'd take your mum home with me. I couldn't believe how long it took to get an Uber for my daughter. It was... I found this thing online that can best be described as a menopause magnet, right? I don't mean George Clooney. This is literally a magnetic device to help a woman through the menopause. This thing arrived in the post. It said it would help me with my mood swings and my hot flushes. And what you do is, I know this sounds weird, sir, right? But what you do is you put a magnet on the front of your knickers. You put a metal disc on the inside of your knickers. It keeps the magnet securely and discreetly in place. And that bit works so beautifully. But what they don't tell you on the menopause magnet packaging is when it is tucked neatly and very discreetly in your pants, distinct possibility you will find yourself metallically attached to the self-checkout in Waitrose. The unexpected item in the bagging area. I just rang it through as a butternut squash and I pissed off. I felt so stupid. The week before, I'd spent a whole 10 minutes attached to my tumble dryer. I mean, it was a very nice 10 minutes, if I'm... It took me so long to decorate the tree this year. All the baubles kept getting stuck in my pubic triangle. I've still got at least one novelty Santa down there. But no, they're really powerful magnets. Honestly, so if you've got any metal fillings, I'd shimmy back a bit and shut your mouth. A pandemic was no place for a menopausal woman, right? Do you remember when they were taking your temperatures everywhere before you could get in? We were only ever one hot flush away from getting fully cancelled. It was... I remember the last time it happened so clearly. I was out with a friend, we were trying to just get a pizza and they were taking temperatures on the door and the guy took mine and he looked at me and said, there's a problem. And I said, what do you mean there's a problem? He said, I'm really sorry, there is a problem. And I said, am I a little bit overheated? That's funny, because I'm a 50-year-old woman. I've just spent an hour and a quarter on the Northern Line wearing a mask. And I raised two children single-handedly. I gave birth to them with no pain relief while their dad complained his back was hurting. And I haven't had a good night's sleep in about 2 years because of my anxiety, my irrational crying, and my vaginal dryness. I don't know what my body's doing. It should send the tears down there. That's where I really need them. And I am attached to your fire extinguisher by my pants. Turned out the problem was with the card machine. You had to pay on the app, so...
I've made a list of pros and cons, because I've been spending a lot of time in brothels and prisons. Made a list of pros and cons, always good, give you a bit of balance, give you a bit of balance. Con, complete loss of all feelings of hope and possibility.
Well, that doesn't sound very good, does it? It doesn't sound much fun, does it?
Pro, increased plug socket access. Bam, one all. I say increased, it's actually total plug socket access. I've got 32 plug sockets in my house. Each and every one of them is now under my sole domain. Con, all experiences that formed the basis of my happiness and sense of self-worth are now destroyed by grief. Downer! A bit of a downer, isn't it? Pro, less recycling. I can fit it all in the green box now. It's remarkable when you take into account just how much I'm drinking. Oh, John, you're meant to heat mulled wine. All right, Your Highness, hand me the bottle and leave. Con, I'm gonna lose me house. bit of fun. Pro, 25% off council tax. I was on that like a ferret.
Dialing as the door slammed.
And that's us fresh out of cons. The rest are just pros, guys. Increased freezer space, all four drawers. Cheaper gas and electric. Reduced wear and tear on fixtures and fittings. And when I say reduced, I don't mean by half, because I was only ever responsible for about 10% of scuffs and spills. So we're looking at a net reduction of 90% in real terms. This is my favourite one. Ultimate control over where the iPhone charger cable is and why it is there. There was a time it would take hours to answer the questions, where is the iPhone charger cable and why is it there? Not anymore. Plugged in next to the bed, most convenient place to have it. Simple. Is it unplugged in the bathroom? No, it's not. Be a ludicrous place to keep it. There's no plug socket in the bathroom. Is it in the front pocket of a rucksack you no longer use? No, that'll be the last place you look. That'll be very frustrating. Is it plugged in on a train we have alighted from? No. It's plugged in next to the bed because that's the most convenient place to have it.
When we first moved to our area, it was a bit, It was a bit shit, right? But it's got nice. It's got a little bit nicer. It's very slightly gentrified. So now everyone that owns their property, they go on Rightmove every day for a little wank. Like, ooh, let's have a little look at what our house is worth. Let's think of somewhere cheaper and put it in, see what we can get for it. Put it in somewhere shit, somewhere, I don't know, somewhere up north. Put that in. And then you're like, fucking hell, we could own Hull. Disgusting. It's very vulgar. So, I've never lived anywhere nice before. It's been quite interesting watching it sort of change a little bit. Like, first off, there's little signs that you notice when a change is on the horizon. Like, first off, it's the availability of sourdough. Change are coming. And then it's the pub. It's always the pub. You've got to keep an eye on the pub. The pub changes. Like, our old pub, it was a sort of working-class pub. Old blokes in there, smoking roll-ups, buying and selling the odd gun, watching Sky Sports, right? But they've all had to go now. They've all been kicked out, and the pub's been done up. It's all shabby chic. It's all been done a bit retro. And now, you know, there's, like, pictures on the wall, old Polaroid photographs of working-class blokes smoking roll-ups, buying and selling guns, watching Sky Sports. And you can eat there. You can get food in the pub now. You can get a rustic frittata on a distressed camping plate. Or, like, a pizza off a bin lid. Spray. Tapas off a plank. Because gentrified people like to eat food from bits of shit in a shed, bits of crap that's sticking around in a garage. I've had soup out of a bedpan. Nice. I like it, I like it. You have to get a tetanus after you've had a meal, but it's nice. And parenting at Christmas time. I worry about my parenting. I don't know if I'm that good at it. I get into rows. I row with my kids. You shouldn't row with kids, should you? It's really frowned at. I said to my friend, I row with my kids. And she said, what do you mean you row with them? You mean you, like, tell them off? I said, no, because that would suggest status, wouldn't it? That would imply I've got some power in our relationship. But I don't seem to have any power. We were in the supermarket recently, getting all the shopping in. I'm quite harassed. I've got other things I need to be doing. One of them's like, no, we don't like pasta shells. We only like pasta bows. I'm like, it's the same. It's the same thing. All of the pastas are the same. The pipes and the bows and the shells and the twists. What are you looking at? I said, you don't give a toss about shape when it's chocolate, do you?
No. It's not good.
No, because there's no glory in winning a row with a child. Like, if you win a row with your mate, you then tell your other mate, don't you? And then you're like, and then I said, right. And then I said, you don't give a shit about shape when it's chocolate, do ya? And I said it to her face. It's like, oh, well done with your 6-year-old kid. Well done, Kel. And my son loves to play Snap. He loves to play Dinosaur Snap. And he hates to lose, because kids do, don't they? Kids hate losing games. You won't meet a kid that loses a game that's like, no, it's fine, best of five, let's just go again. So I have to let him win, because I'm his mum and I love him in a sort of oppressive, clawing way. So I have to let him win. He'll lose at things later in life when I can't control that for him, but for this game of Snap, I can let him win, can't I? But it turns out that my reflexes aren't as sentimental as me. So a Diplodocus goes down, and then another Diplodocus, and before I quite know what's happening, I'm like, Snap! Snap!